You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it will get done, and because you're going to do it. That's right. You ain't going to put it off and let somebody else. No, you're going to do it, and you'll do it safely. That's right. You do it safely. You keep your distance. You wear your mask. You do whatever is possible to stay safe. Continue to do that. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot. I don't know what's wrong with me, man. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. I just went there, and man, Brother Kwaku, I really appreciate you, man. It's really cool. But also, too, you can go to babaoshi.net. That's a shortcut. Babaoshi. BABAOSHI.net. And same thing, you'll take you right there. All right. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, I'm still waiting to get an updated version, but until that time, we'll make these announcements of upcoming programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all the times are going to give our Eastern time. So from on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. That's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. On Wednesday from 8 to 10, on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening for Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. I just saw preview of what they're going to talk about on Sankofa Elders Council, and that's meditation. Just like when we meditated and spiritually got invigorated to kick to everybody's ass in the Haitian Revolution of 1804. That's what I'm serious, deep meditation and prayer and focus. But, you know, from all the other brothers and sisters who brought forth great things. So check it out tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on Time for an Awakening Radio, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 on Sunday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. My good friend, Brother Bamani Tahemba, he's been taking our people to the motherland for many years, and over 450 brothers and sisters. Yes. So check him out, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bramante2007. Upcoming trips to Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th of this year. Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2022. Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th, 2022. And then Ghana, May 24th to June 5th, 2022. And all the trips are $3,700. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for helping Africans by establishing schools for at home and abroad. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work here in the Atlanta area with the programs that they have established, the Sustainable Seeds, the Habashah Works Program, the Black to Our Roots, the Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Job. Check them out. And of course, they have the Kashi Project in Ghana. The buildings are up. There's not a pictures on the website. And also, too, they have a program to help you repatriate. So I'm telling you, go to HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. Just go to Ledge Group. I apologize. The Ledge Group.com. Go to Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And, of course, they deal in the four areas of human existence. That is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on 6 different countries and over 172 people employed and over 260 members. They need more members. Hey, membership has its programs, has its privileges. And being a member of the Ledge Group, you can purchase land in Tanzania. That's right, for $250 an acre, you can purchase land in Tanzania. The Ledge Group. Bibi Atumi. Bibitumi.com. Bibitumi.com. Bibi Atumi is primarily an educational institution specializing in live, online, and offline teaching of various African languages, most notably the Akan, which is tree. That's tree spelled T-W-I. Yoruba, Wolof, the Medu Netcher, which the Greeks call hieroglyph, the Medu Netcher, and Kiswahili. Classes are held in the online classroom using state-of-the-art streaming audio and video technology. Bibi Atumi also offers classes on a variety of topics pertinent to African liberation and the African experience throughout the global African world, has taught by a variety of instructors and throughout the African world. In addition to the live classes, Bibi Atumi also offers community forums where Africans from throughout the African world can discuss various topics in and about African language, education, economics, social systems, health, and you name it. We'll talk about it and more. BibiAtumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. This weekend, of course, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Delicious smoothies and health drinks, wraps and pies and delicious desserts and all kinds of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Right across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And, of course, on Fridays and Saturdays, the shrine is open from 1 to 7. And they do have services during the week, on Sunday. So contact the shrine, okay, at 404-444-6996. 404-444-6696, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. You can give Wadada's a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Village. the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia at 2910 Napier Avenue. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Brothers and sisters, you're in Macon, Georgia. If you plan on being in Macon for whatever reason, find your way to Napier Avenue, 2910 Napier Avenue, Macon, and check out the Homeland Village. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia, has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff for you. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here in Atlanta. My good brother Gazimdi Ajamu, serving delicious African coffees and teas, pastries, bean pie, you name it. He has the T-shirts. He has all kinds of, he has the red, black, and green shoes. And, of course, he has books. And if he has a book that you're looking, if he doesn't have the book that you're looking for, believe me, just like he will get it, so will Mama Nia and so will the Shrine. I'm telling you, there's no sense of you not knowing if you're here in Atlanta. There's ways. Sometimes say, you don't know because you don't want to know. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, yesterday evening on Thursday, had their Thursday night broadcast at 9 o'clock. Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, from 9 to 10 on Thursday night. You can call just to listen. If you want to make a comment, just press 1. It'll put you at the top of the line. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Or, as we like to say, family-centered economics. Check them out. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140. That's 4140. Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Good. Contact my sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Shelly Amonset with Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Located in an International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sanjay-Aini.org. My good sister and sister Gabby is doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Give her a call. Don't give her a call. Go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-Aiti.org and make a contribution. That's what you should do. You see that what the kids are doing, the education, the sustainable agriculture, the health component that they have, and, of course, the entrepreneurship, because they do sell a lot of stuff that they produce there. So it's fantastic. So Akaben Institute, Baba Rudy and Mama Yah, doing great work, as always, of raising our warriors. And so we must support that. I agree. Don't you? Please send a check of money order out to Akaben Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaben Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use PayPal and Cash App, you want to use the Cash App, the $Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, to check out the books that Baba Baruti is author of. He's prolific. He's constantly pumping them out. At AkabenHouse.com. Go to AkabenHouse.com and you can order your books. But all the bookstores that I mentioned here, the Shrine.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
All the bookstores, they have Baba Baruti's books. So you can call them up. There's a whole line of them in Mama Nia's bookstore, as well as Brother Gazimde at the Black Dot. So, all right. Brothers and sisters, time for the Yenye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Yenye Sesem of Daily revolutionary thought. September 16th. That our race has not effectively moved toward proactive national vision and direction reflects more than the formidable grip that menticide has on the psyche of Africans, sustaining this captive mentality, than the inability to formulate the vision. Olumide. Too many of us assume that the politics of those claiming to have sat at the feet or having been chosen students of a master teacher are similar to those of the master. Too many of us assume that once the master has transitioned, they speak as the master with the mind of the master, interpreting things in the same way that the master would have. And in some way, that some will argue that only those who were born and raised on the continent can objectively explain our untainted traditions. Too many of those claiming to have experience being personally taught by a master teacher exploited as an automatic, irrefutable evidence that they have greater knowledge and credibility than those who have also studied their master teacher, but who have only been able to do so from afar. Such individuals consciously and arrogantly feel entitled to make this claim, as shown by their repeated statements about being taught by this or that master, even while they pursue and promote political agendas which are diametrically opposed to those stated by the master. Affirm, I am working toward the permanent okay, let me work on this word here. I am working toward the permanent dementicization of myself and my people. Menticization. The excitation. Y'all know what I mean. September 17th. Our evolution as a people is tied to whatever we can find, the courage, whatever we can find, the courage, the strength, humility, patience, devotion, commitment, fearlessness, steadfastness, and joy to love each other unconditionally, to help ourselves rebuild collectively and not be afraid to sacrifice parts of ourselves in order to harmonize with the greater purpose of nation building. Our nation building process was always pioneered first by the coming together of couples with the permission and guidance of elders and sages. And then when the foundation of family was set after the birth of children, we then began to start the unification of these families for the purpose of nationhood. Moot Kenteka. What does it take for an uncomplimented person to single-handedly choose to confront madness? What would it take for that single individual to confront an overwhelming assault against his or her being? What kind of inner strength is required to bring one to becoming become willing to risk death to visualize and work toward a sane reality? Similarly, what level of personal sacrifice would it take for two such persons, each already individually assaulted beyond reason, to choose to allow themselves to become a complementarity pair who unquestionably will be targeted for even greater assault by Urugu's reality as they join hands and minds in the ongoing effort to extract themselves and us from this insanity? Even more disquieting, why would they choose to bring new life into a dysfunctional spiritual void, knowing full well the sustained hateful assault awaiting the offspring they have sworn on their souls to provide for and to protect? What kind of commitment, strength, and vision does this goal of African family require of compliments? Affirm, I am evolving collectively. Affirm, I am evolving collectively. We must come together. We need each other. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. One of our elders in the Black Firefighters made his transition Baron Von Couch out of New Jersey. He was 95 years old. The Baron. Man, I tell you, love the Baron. Man, I remember as I was bringing forth my, you know, trying to influence the brothers to be more African-centered, to wear African clothes. And I remember at the convention, one convention, Brother Baron, he couldn't wait to see me. He was decked out beautifully in his African regalia. I ain't gonna say his garb. But what a great man. Baron Von Couch made his transition at 95 years of age. He was out of Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I had to wait for him. And also, too, Brother Jimmy. Jimmy passed. Atlanta firefighter here. Yeah. People. But it's the cycle of life, as y'all know. You know, it's just sometimes it's, even though some may have been in a state far too long, and you say, like, wow, I hope he doesn't suffer too long, and go ahead and make the transition. And then some are surprising that you didn't even know what was happening, because just this past spring, me and sister, and she is former chief, Rosemary Cloud, former chief of, she's one of the first women who was a chief of a major city fire department, decent fire department. And of course, being a sister, she was one of the first us, Rosemary Cloud of East Point Fire Department. And me, her, and Jimmy and his wife, we went to Chattanooga for Leroy Norwood's homegoing. So, man, I contact Rosemary and see what the deal is and wait for all whatever arrangements to, you know, pay respect to Brother Jimmy. Good man. I saw this particular piece. You know, I don't know if you get on your Facebook Baba Morali Mubarudi, but I would suggest to you, if you do have Facebook, you make him a friend. You go online to your Facebook and put him in, you know, request, put him in. Just sends out great information. He sent this particular piece out. And I just want to read this and comment on it. I'm going to talk about words today. And, you know, people say words have meaning, you know. And what I want to do, and I've done this before, I state my position that words that we should use, words that when you hear one of us say the word that we shouldn't use, maybe even politely say the word that we should use, you know. I mean, it's just like when the elder was at a gathering, and the elder, he said, yeah, we're our own worst enemy. And I politely said, no, we're not our own worst enemy. You know, and I really detest that. But, you know, we've been trained to say that and trained to think that. No, we're our own worst enemy. The European, the Caucasian who put us in this condition. No, our real worst enemy is us. We should hate ourselves. We should hate seeing us coming. We should hate trying to do something else because we're our enemy. No, brothers and sisters. The European has positioned himself to be an open and sworn enemy to African people. Look at the history. Look at what they've done and continue to do. We have divisions. We have problems with ourselves because of them. Not us. We have organizations that have worked against our best interest. Somebody put some information out on the Facebook feed about the Boule. I did a program about the Boule, I don't know, some time ago. Trying to make sure that we know who they are and what they've done. Who this group of fraternity people and maybe even some sororities are part of that. You know, because the bottom line was with the Boule particularly was to stop Marcus Garvey. I mean, we later had love for Du Bois. I'm talking about the conscious people, because Du Bois realized his mistake and realized that this country, and he went on to move to Africa. He has a tomb in Africa. He has the Du Bois Center. I've been there a few times. In fact, on the anniversary, the 40th, I didn't make it to the 50, unfortunately, in 97. I mean, in 07, you know, but I did make it to the 40. And in fact, they had an earthquake, a little tremor, no kidding. Yeah, I was in a restaurant with a few people, a little tremor. But, you know, Minister Farrakhan spoke at the Du Bois Center on the anniversary, set up by Akbar Muhammad, who is his international spokesperson. And, of course, hanging a lot in Africa. Good brother. But I want to read this by Baba Baruti. We'll get to words in a minute, and I want you to think of some words that you feel that we as African people, you know, should not say, and words that we should say, you know, in describing us, in describing ourselves and our condition. Check this out. We know that freedom is not free. We know that freedom is not a place. It is a vision and an ongoing mission. We know that the mantle of freedom must be assumed by each new generation of its own volition. And yet, most of our children are unaware that they are not free. And even among those who are aware, they are not entirely to blame for their reactive responses to white supremacy and apathetic fear of taking daring concrete actions. For the most part, our examples for them to follow have been so limited in both quantity and quality. We have not done our work, or have not done it well enough. There is no excusing us for helping to usher in their greater exploitation at the hands of our historical enemies. Be it our fault or otherwise, their destruction is imminent without our continued protection and guidance. Let me repeat. Be it our fault or otherwise, their destruction, that means us as a people, their destruction is imminent without our continued protection and guidance. Those of us individually doing the frontline work of many know how hard this job is. If it were easy to be African, we would have had so many. If it would be easy to be African, we would not have so many Negroes. And damn, we got a lot of Negroes. But even if being African were a more difficult job than it is, we would do it because we know we are right. Those of us who know this must work harder where we stand. We must put even more energy than ever before into arresting and correcting the European cultural contagion and compensate for the damage done by Negroes and lost souls. It is hard work, very, very hard work. But no warriors have been better prepared or stronger. Regardless of our level of preparedness, though, it is a matter of life and death. So the degree of difficulty is irrelevant. Baba Mwalimu Mubaruti. That is from his book, Menticide. And that right there sums it up into what our problem is and where we are. It is hard. It is hard to live in a hoe house. I know. It is hard to live in a hoe house and not turn a trick. Sooner or later, if you don't have an alternative, you're going to pull your money out. And that's our problem. We live in a hoe house. And we're pulling our money out. Many of our people believe this is us. And we need to you know, find ways to make it our own. We need to find ways to be just as inclusive as they want us to be. Not as inclusive as we want it to be, but as they, because it is, of course, our appeal to Caucasians to please let me be a part of what you have here. Please respect my humanity. Please let me just live over here or over here or over there. Let me go to your schools. Let me have one of your jobs and promote me when I get on your job. Please, please, please. Yeah. Please, please, please. And so we're at consistently at this crossroads. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're at a crossroads. And to me, we must look at the situation for what it is. The only solution, you know, when people talk about, well, let's be solution orientated. There's only one solution, damn it. Pan-Africanism. There's only one solution. Pull our resources, come together. And let's educate ourselves to get the hell up out of here. There's only one solution. There's no compromise. There's no appeasing. There's none of that. To hell with it. We ain't talking to them unless we're giving them a directive. To hell with them. That's hard for us because we've been trained by them. If you want to get in this conversation, the phone is always open. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I see a number of calls. And of course, you hit star twice and lets me know that you want to have a, you have a question or a comment or concern here on African Perspectives on this dreary, rainy Friday morning or afternoon or whatever is coming up upon for you. But that's what it is, you know. So this program is a warning. This program is dedicated to try to say to you, this is what we're up against. This is what we should do. If you want to talk about a solution, the only solution is getting our minds right. This is the attack on our minds. And if we don't do this, you know, there's that saying that we say here, our motto here on African Perspectives is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. So we, you know, we got to do this. No, let me talk to Mama Nabantu. She just come up. Good morning, Mama Nabantu. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I'm a little tired. I just finished making my collard green ice cream.
Collard green ice cream, y'all. I've had it. It's good. So when is the collard green festival?
It's going to be hybrid. Saturday is going to be virtual, and then Sunday is going to be drive-by, pick up your collard green ice cream, memorabilia, collard green dinners, also samples of the entries for the King and Queen cook-off.
Okay. That takes place this Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow?
No, the following weekend.
Okay, next weekend. Okay.
The 25th and 26th.
When do you want to come on the radio and talk about this? You want to come on Wednesday?
Next Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So that's next Wednesday. So you come on next Wednesday. You'll give us details of everything. You give us the history of the Collard Green Festival and all of that good information. And, of course, have folks have a chance to get to drive by on Saturday to pick up their collard greens and their collard green ice cream. That's right.
Right. There'll be a few vendors out there as well this time.
Okay.
Oh, and there'll be a DJ. On a Sunday.
Okay.
DJ and some, yeah.
Is that going to be in Lithonia or where?
Well, it's going to be at First African Church.
Oh, at First African. Okay. Yeah.
Now, Stonecrest, you know, it mm-hmm. used to be Lithonia, but now it's in the city of Stonecrest.
Stonecrest, right. Okay. Well, we'll get all those details. We'll get all those details for next week, and we'll have a chance to talk about that, and people can call in and everything like that next week, Wednesday. Okay, Mama Nabantu?
Okay, no problem.
All right, dear. Stay with us. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's Mama Nabantu. Of course, she's with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and she's been running the Collard Green Festival here in the Atlanta area for many years. And so next week, Wednesday, you'll find out more about it, the history of it, and so forth. If you want to, let me give, get this caller in. Caller 602, good morning.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Marcus. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
You know, you said something there earlier. You said if we were to pull out from them, withdraw from these people would lose their power.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so true. It is so true. Because they are just 1/10 or 1/9 of the world's population.
Right. Exactly.
So in order for them to rule, they have to recruit from the same group of people they are oppressing.
Mm-hmm.
See? They don't have the numbers to rule outright. So they recruit from the same group that they are oppressing. And in Memphis here, I was listening to a radio station here this morning, and they were all lamenting about, oh, what you gonna do when all these other youth killing each other, black youth shooting each other? But I said, hold on. That is happening all across America. It's happening in Jamaica. It's happening in Brazil. Black folks.
Sure. Yes.
Each other.
Yes.
And I said, but I think one of the main things that is perpetrating this thing is that curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
That miseducation curriculum. Because that's not education. That's miseducation.
That's right.
That educate you away from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, I said, I think the same curriculum that teach white people to hate black people, teach black people to hate black people. The same curriculum they give out to you that glorify white.
Mm-hmm.
See, it denigrates black.
That's right.
See, it denigrates black people. So if you were to take those books and throw them in the trash heap,
that's right.
Throw them in the garbage can. Take the Bible, throw it in the garbage can. The Quran, the Torah, throw them in the trash can.
Yes,
because it's not helping us.
You know, and that's a hard one, Brother Marcus, when you talk about taking, you know, the Christian Bible and the Muslim Quran and the European Jew to Torah and all these other so-called holy books and throw them in the trash can. That's a tough one for our people, man, isn't it? Because they have But in order for us to free ourselves, that's what we must do. We need to put that in our back pocket, or put that in the closet, or put that in a drawer somewhere, and let's come together and talk about what we must do as African people to put ourselves in a position for our very survival, to re-Africanize ourselves, take our land, control our resources, and heal us as a people. That's what we must do. You know, we've been under this Christianity malaise for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of years. Look at where it's all Christian at, and look at the condition of the people if they're not Caucasian. They're suffering. They're like suffering. They're impoverished. They're impoverished. But yeah, they got Christianity. They got Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, they got
they,
Jesus.
When I hear these Negroes talk about Jesus, they said, oh, when I'm waiting for him to return. I said, Jesus, Jesus ain't coming. He couldn't even save himself. He couldn't even save himself. And I mean, it just don't make no sense, this whole thing. I mean, God, all-seeing, all-knowing God, who know everything before it happens. He didn't foresee these things were going to happen.
Right.
You created man. He said, didn't you know that man was going to be destructive? Yeah? It don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense, brother. It doesn't.
Make no sense. Yeah. And our people still holding on to this foolishness.
Yeah.
Foolishness is that anytime I need a good laugh, I read the Bible. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anytime I need a good fictional story, I read the Bible. Because that's all it is fiction.
Well, see, the problem, let me tell you, Brother Marcus, the problem with it is the people who perpetuate it say that it is the truth, the whole truth. It is historical. These people lived. Historically, this whole situation is real. Jesus is real. He died. He rose. He's coming back and all this other bull. It is not. It is not. It is not. It is not real historically. It is not real psychologically, or it's not real logically. Many of the stuff that's in the Bible, just physically, in your right mind, you know it could not have happened. But yet, because you are trained to believe that it is the infallible word of God and that you take that as it is. Even though like you say, well, it's allegory. Yeah, but didn't you say it's real? Allegory and real is not the same thing. It's a parable. It's not real. See?
I said to one the other day, where is Lazarus? I said, Lazarus is walking the earth today then. Because if Jesus went and raised Lazarus from the dead, that means Lazarus conquered death.
That's right. That's right.
That means
Lazarus never dies again. He rose him from the dead.
So Lazarus is walking the earth today. He's living. They shut up. With the
yeah.
Put them in a mental trap, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Brother Oshi, you keep on keeping on. I love and respect your program, brother.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Yeah. I love that you listen. I love that you call and contribute. Please continue to do so, dear brother. You have a blessed and wonderful day and a great weekend, Brother Marcus.
You too, brother. Take care.
Peace to you. 919-919-7668-919. Good afternoon. Or good morning still.
Good morning, Brother Oshi.
Good morning.
Good to hear your program.
This is
Herbie White in Durham, North Carolina.
Hey, my brother. Thank you. And thank you for that information. Really appreciate that. I looked that up. Yeah.
If you have an email address, I can send you a particular piece on that that's very, very informative.
Okay, please do. Here's my email address.
Can
you take it down? You ready?
Yeah.
OSHI 427 A as in apple, D as in dog, E as in Edward. OSHI 427 ADE @gmail.com. @gmail.
Oh, okay, I'm going to get that out to you.
I look forward to it, Brother Herbie. Thank you.
What I wanted to say today is that we speak a language of our oppressors, of people that hate and despise us.
Hello.
So there's not going to be words in their language to do anything but denigrate us, but not to lift us up.
That's right.
There's no word in the English language for my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
There's no word in the English language for my aunt.
And,
so
and it should be
a word like the so-called N-word.
Mm.
Something that we should never forget, because when a person commits a crime and they're indicted. There's everything is in the indictment that they did, that they should be charged with. And so when you don't, if you don't take the N-word out of the language, you're taking something out of the indictment that they need to be charged with.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you was designated as that word, that was a death sentence.
Yeah.
That was a death sentence. If they said there's a bunch of N's downtown, what did that mean? What was their mindset?
And see,
get your guns and let's go.
Let's go. Exactly. That's what they said in Tulsa. That's what they said in Rosewood, in Lane, Arkansas. That's what they said even in Allentown, in L.A. County. That's what they said. Let's get your guns and let's go.
If somebody told you that your cousin that you grew up with that moved to California was back in town, you going to see him, what would be your mindset? You'd be happy, you'd be excited, you'd be because something pleasant was getting ready to happen. When they said that word, nothing pleasant was getting ready to happen for you.
No. Mm-mm.
And so that's part of the indictment. I'm not saying we should be using it, calling each other that every day and all and rapping everything, but I'm saying that that's part of the indictment.
That's right. It is.
That's part of the indictment. So their whole language, so for us to look to their language to enunciate our feelings, we're not going to find it.
You know, Ozzie Davis said...
We have no words in their language to tell black people how they feel about their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know how black men feel about their mothers. There's no word to describe that. There's words in the African language to describe that.
Mm-hmm.
The regalness of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not in their language because they kill their mother.
Mm. Well, you know.
So we need to, you know, as best we can.
Ozzie Davis.
Understand who we are and try to focus on how we really feel and not to try to try to describe our feelings with their language.
That's right. It can't be done because it's not there. Ozzie Davis said, the English language is my enemy. He said, when you look at the up the word and same thing as Dr. Martin Luther King said, when you look at the word black, and you have all these negative connotations of what the word black is, to be sullied, inferior, evil, you know, all these. And of course, in the word white, you know, pure and righteous and all these other kind of things.
If white people described your show, what would be some of the adjectives they would use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it said, you know, once again, you know, in fact, in the ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, in their first book, The Preliminary Challenge, there's a chapter in there that says, can we liberate ourselves? And it says someone else's language, but it's really the enemy's language. Can we liberate ourselves in the enemy's language? No, we cannot. It is theirs, not ours. Yes, we can control some words, like we believe that we control the N-word because we can say it. And they can, and when somebody outside of us says it, you know, we can kick their ass, you know, justifiably, supposedly, we think, you know. And, of course, now it's all over. You have Asians saying, calling themselves each other nigger. You have, I was on the continent, you know, and they called each other nigger, the younger people. So this word, for those of us who are elders, we need to tell these younger brothers and sisters, please, you know, we need to change this. Because we must re-Africanize ourselves. We must infuse ourselves with knowledge and information of who we are and the glory of our history and our past. We're not niggas. We're not niggars. I know there's a word out of Ethiopia, niggas. And that's what the red, black, and green shoes, their company called it niggas. You know, I would say if, you know, and that speaks of royalty, but I would say that when you consider what is happening now, and even though that word speaks to that, we have to craft words and use words that are going to be liberating, that are going to be mind altering, that are going to speak to the our history and our culture. That's why Dr. Clark said we should not use the word black, because when you talk about a people, you must conjure up land, history, and culture. We are Africans. We are African people. And no, that name was not, the continent is not named after a European, not named after Scipio Africanus or Leo Africanus, ain't named after none of them. The fact is, they named Scipio Africanus, who was general, because he had defeated Hannibal. They just named it, they didn't name the continent after him. So we have all of these things that are not true. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. So, brother, you stick with us, okay, brother?
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. When we come back, we'll deal with other words that I feel that we should, you know, don't say. Find alternative words to use. Because we, you know, when you hear a word, it automatically, especially in today's world, because there's a lot of words that give you already the visualization through the technology that they have through television and other methods and other means, the social media and so forth. So, you know, all these things that we're bombarded with. And as we as African people, in our efforts to reclaim and recapture and restore our history and our culture and so forth, we need to make sure that what we're putting into our minds, what words are coming out of our mouths, are those that will help transform us. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed from 8 to 9 by Black Therapy Central with Dr. Muia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations Reparations. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard this evening at 8. Tomorrow, Saturday, 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Yeah. What's in a name? A rose would smell just as sweet. Remember that line from, what was that? I think that's Shakespeare, Snake Shit, something, I don't know. Yeah. And as Dr. Clark said, well, that's good when you're talking about flowers or roses, but we're talking about people. And so when you talk about people, you must have conjure up land, history, and culture. And I agree. That's why I don't say that we're black. And the problem with us saying we're black, and I know we use it interchangeably. I know my good friend and dear brother who's an ancestor, me and Baba Rinoco, we had this discussion, you know, and I know we can use it interchangeably, black and African. But I say this because there are some of us who are black and who like being black. You know, they like being cool, being black. Not understanding is to be black is just doing a service to be doing a service to whites. Because him or her being black, they want the jobs that white people have. You know, they want the promotions. They want to live in their neighborhood. No, in fact, some blacks don't want to live in white folks' neighborhood. They like living in gated communities and cul-de-sacs and subdivisions that it can be all black and with beautiful manicured lawns. And I'm quite sure the interior of some of those homes are immaculate, you know. But they don't want to be African. They don't want to be African. They want to be black, you know. And so to me, there must come a point in time of a distinction. Either we're going to be African, embrace that, go hard with that, or you want to be black. You know, that's how I look at it. And I'm advocate, strong, staunch advocate for being African. For being African. As I say, the only salvation for us is to embrace our Africanness, to re-Africanize ourselves, to embrace it to the point that we understand who we are, why we are, where we are, and what we must do. Race. I know people talk about the race. Well, you know, there is no such thing as race. Many people who study biology, anthropology, geology, and so forth. So there's only one race, that's the human race, of which Africans are the fathers and mothers of. Humanity developed out of Central East Africa. It migrates from that particular point, and what makes us different as human beings is the ability to adapt to environments that we find ourselves in and to develop a culture from that environment. There's no such thing as race. But Europeans, if you want to do the research, go look up Carol Linnaeus. Go look up Johann Blumenbach of Göttingen University. They're the ones that created this concept of race, stratifying with them at the top and everybody else and us at the bottom, making the world believe in human development. They're the highest of human development, and we're the lowest. And though we've been here first, got a caller. I got a caller, 301-401-467. Good afternoon.
Oh, no, I'm just listening. I must have hit the wrong button.
No, that's okay then, brother. You know you can listen anytime, and I know you are. I appreciate that. How you been?
I've been doing good. Been doing good.
Good. Did you hear about the Baron passed?
Yes, I did. I found out this morning.
Man, 95 years old, man. He was
he just celebrated his birthday.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, man. August 1st, August 2nd, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, because he would do that sometimes when we were at the conventions. He would be celebrating his birthday. That's right. Yeah, man, the Baron. All right. Well, you continue to listen, my brother.
All right. Okay, man.
Peace.
How do I?
Peace. Yeah. One of my fellow firefighter brothers, that he puts out good stuff on the internet. Brother Blackwell's outstanding. I appreciate him. He puts out very good memes. I mean, man, he's I love it. The word slave. The European, now, you know, of course, you know the word slave comes from Slavs. They were not calling people who were in servitude back in ancient times slaves. And, of course, we know clearly that there was no captivity of human beings in Kemet. That was not a culture where captivity was the norm. There is no slave culture in ancient Kemet or Egypt. So, you know, the European Jews making this case, Moses and all this bull, did not happen. It did not happen. I remember when my brother, who was religious, who was I consider him like a theologian, man. He knows the Bible from front and back, you know, and don't know nothing else. He don't know history. But, of course, I said, well, you know, this didn't happen. And he said, well, yeah, and because I was saying to him that the ancient Kemetic people, in their writings, in the Medu Netcher, what the Greeks call hieroglyphs, everything that was of consequence and of seriousness, it was documented. Either it was documented on papyri or they wrote it in stone. There is no mention of Hebrews, Hebra, in ancient Kemet building anything. Nothing. No mention at all. And yet, around Easter time, we'll see, you know, talk about the Passover. They'll talk about the Ten Commandments. They'll talk about Moses and this, that, and the other. It never, but yet, see, the deal with Christianity is that it purports itself to be historical. And of course, the people believe that this must be historical. That's why in my friend Dr. Marimba Ani's book, Urugu, the one chapter on religion, not spirituality, you must read it, because she clearly states that because they're so dogmatic with the idea that this religion must be historical, and they go through this, and it, no way in hell could your right mind think that what they're saying in this book is historical or actually happened. There's no other documentation. There's no documentation. There's nothing outside of the Bible that can corroborate what these stories are saying. There is no Noah's Ark. There is no Exodus out of Kemet with all these people and taking all this stuff with them. There is nothing. There is no Jesus. And I know that's hard for a lot of our people. I really do. I know that it's extremely difficult to be told that, because you've been told there's nothing more important than your belief in this religion. It's more important than anything. And so the captivity of us as a people started because of Europeans. Well, no, let me take that back. Arabs from the north. We have been captured for many thousands of years. But the civilizations that were great in Kemet, the civilizations that were great throughout Africa, were not based on captivity, were not based on enslaving anybody, putting people to work through the sting of the lash. That is not true. That did not happen. So to me, every time you hear the word slave, and believe me, the Caucasian loves to throw that at us, that we are slaves. In fact, if you know, when I was working with young people back in Milwaukee on my off days as a firefighter, we worked one day on, 2 days off, and I would work with young people in the schools. I used to do one portion of it talking about imagery. I would tell them to close their eyes, and I would say some words, and I want them to be honest. Whose face did you put on those words? Close your eyes. Welfare. Drug addict. Drug dealer. Thug. No fit father. No fit mother. I could go on. Whose face did you put on that? And being honest, they had to say, ours. Because we have been trained, just like the word slave. Lincoln freed the slaves. They went over to Africa and got some slaves. We were never slaves. At the beginning of this program, in the opening of this program, it states unequivocally, and even when I do libation, I state unequivocally, we were not slaves. We were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We always fought. We always resisted from the time beginning on the continent, in the Middle Passage, and in this hemisphere and throughout. We're not slaves. We're captives. And imagine if we, as a people, reject that word and use captive or prisoners. It denotes a different connotation. It gives you a different vision. But the Caucasian loves to call us slaves, because the vision that they have, and we see the movies, don't we? All the time. 12 years a slave. There was one movie, just all of, that was a whole type of slave. I think Dionne Warwick was in that movie. One of the first movies she had. Yeah. They're constantly calling us slave. And we're not slaves. We were never slaves. We've never submitted. We will continue to fight. We'll continue to resist. Intelligence. That's an interesting word because, I always thought the word intelligence, you know, it meant somebody who's, you know, enlightened, somebody who, has a perspective, and you know, that's what I always thought the word, you know, intelligence. In fact, in the dictionary, so to speak, you know, they said intelligence. It says the capacity for learning, reasoning, understanding, and similar forms of mental activity, aptitude in grasping truths, relationships, facts, meanings, and so forth. Being able to, intelligence, manifestations of high mental capacity, the faculty of understanding, knowledge of an event, circumstances received and imparted in news, information, the gathering of or distribution of information, especially Now, here's where it gets deep. Intelligence. In the governmental sense, intelligence, information about an enemy or potential enemy, the evaluated conclusions drawn from such information, and an organization or agency engaged in gathering such information, the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. Intelligence. And you know they've gathered all kinds of intelligence on us. That's the thing, just like Baba Herbie. And I got your email, Baba. Thank you so much, Brother Herbert. Brother Herbie, thank you. He mentioned that this language is not good for us. No, it's not. It's not our language. It is not ours. But what we can do is reject those words and descriptions that have a deep adverse effect on our minds, and putting words in that will make ourselves, each other, think highly and more cultural of ourselves. This is our responsibility. This society is not going to do it. I don't give a damn if the society never stops, I mean, using the word slave or any other word that they have, because it's their words. Because I'm showing the hell no, they're never going to stop calling us slaves. Because of what they have done, they have consistently put into our minds, that's all that we've ever been. A slave. And nothing could be furthest from the truth. In fact, what did they do in the Ten Commandments movie? If they have white, even the recent movie Exodus with Christian Bale has Moses. They have more Caucasian looking people in authority, and they have, of course, darker skinned people in servitude. Because what did the Bible say? Because of the Noah story, the Ham and Shem and Japheth. What did the Bible say? That Ham saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers. The brothers walked backward, did not look upon his nakedness, and covered him up. And then, of course, he came out of that drunken stupor and found out what went down, and he cursed. I mean, he doesn't really curse Ham. He curses his son Canaan. And where is Canaan? The land of Canaan is present day Israel. Present day Israel. Where the European Jews dominate and control Judaism. So we must understand these things from a historical perspective. But more importantly, we must change the verbiage. We must change the language. We must change the words that consistently we're bombarded with, that gives us these visions and these images of what we are not. Discipline. Man, this one really gets me. Every time you're talking about, yeah, he's going to be disciplined. Discipline is self-imposed order. Just like I mentioned about the word intelligence, they've already had about five definitions about information, about knowledge of events and circumstance and da-da-da-da, understanding. And then towards the end, now, it's information about an enemy and a potential enemy. It's about gathering information, conclusions drawn from, you know, because all this clandestine. Yeah. Discipline. That they're going to discipline him or her. Discipline is self-imposed order. When you don't have any order on yourself, the society must impose order on you. That's discipline. When you go to the university or to college, what do they call the studies? They don't call them punishments, do they? No, they call them disciplines. In the dictionary, discipline, training to act in accordance with rules. Discipline, in accordance with the rules. An activity, exercise, a regimen that develops or improves a skill. Discipline. A branch of instruction or training, the discipline of history and economics. Then later down it says punishment inflicted by way of correction and training. Discipline, punishment. The rigor of training, effective experience and adversity. Behavior in accordance with rules and conduct. Behavior in order maintained by training and control. A set or system of rules and regulations. The system of governments regulating the practice of a church has distinguished from its doctrine, the disciplines. An instrument of punishment, especially a whip, used in the practice of self-modification or as an instrument of chastisement in certain religious communities. I'm going to chastise them. I'm going to discipline them. The word punishment, if the society would use the word punishment, but it has a negative connotation to it, you see. That's why when you hear it on television, you know, especially if you watch sports like I do, and they talk about a certain player who has done something against the rules of the team, he will be disciplined by the league or disciplined by his team. But of course, they mean punishment. When people lack discipline and they're out of control, the society will punish them. They'll put them in detention centers, put them in prison, put them in jail. Even to the point that they're way out of control, they might execute them. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't execute that Caucasian who killed those Asians here in the Atlanta area. He got triple life sentence or some stuff like that. So, yeah, just surprised. Discipline, self-imposed order. When you don't have any order on yourself, society has to impose order on you. They must punish you. We need discipline. Our children need discipline. They must recognize a time and a place for everything. When our children are in school, it is time to learn. If the instructor or the teacher said it is time for this, y'all do this. If it is time for that, y'all do that. Putting priorities, that's discipline. And when you have no discipline, it doesn't go well. It's not in the order. It's not in the structure that it needs to be. And most times you may fail because you lacked discipline. But now if you way out of control and you're doing some crazy stuff that could bring harm to others, then you truly need to be punished. Suspensions, all kinds of stuff that may happen to you. Even to the point that if it's way out of control, you may need to be executed. Discipline, self-imposed order. When you don't have any order on yourself, society will impose it on you. And we need discipline. We need our brothers and sisters to have some structure in their lives. We need it. Mentor. You know, I hear this a lot, and I heard it the other day, and I heard a brother say it. It was at the Black Men's Lab. And I've even asked Brother Molly Davis to use the word Jegna, as opposed to mentor. He understood that. But of course, I think we need to to make that something that we do. And so even when people come to present, because at the presentation this past Monday, it's every Monday evening, you know, a couple of the brothers talking about mentors, you know, and we need to understand what that is. In fact, let me read from the Inye Sesim, Baba Baruti, talking about a Jegna. The word Jegna, J-E-G-N-A, J-E-G-N-A, Jegna. And the plural is Jegnak, J-E-N-O-C-H, J-E-N-O-C-H, which is plural for Jegna. A word taken from the Aramaic language of Ethiopia. It refers to those who are altruistically committed out of an unqualified duty to their people and nation to teach our children the art and science of a politically conscious adulthood, or as articulated by Dr. Wade Nobles. Jegna are those special people who have been tested in struggle or battle, demonstrated extraordinary, unusual fearlessness, shown determination and courage into protecting his or her people, land, and culture, shown diligence and dedication to our people, produced an exceptionally high quality of work, and dedicated themselves to protection, defense, nurturance, and development of our young by advancing our people, place, and culture. Jegna. And the Jegnax. When honoring these African individuals, the Jegna should be used instead of mentor, because mentor is derived from the mythical Greek character mentor, whom Odysseus left to care for and educate his son Telemachus in his absence. And with every with every other mentor in ancient Greek society, a significant part of his role as a teacher and guidance was to personally introduce his ward to a homosexual lifestyle. It's in the book. It states that in the book of the Odyssey, of Homer's Odyssey, with Odysseus, had gone so long, and he had Telemachus, and he sexually abused him. And so we should not use that word. In fact, everything that we do, try to find an African word as opposed to the words that they have given us. Or in this case, we want to use ourselves. I don't give a damn if Europeans want to use the word. It's their language. But when we know what the word and what the connotations of the word and what the root word of the word, when we know these things, let us be intelligent enough and culturally sensitive enough to change them. We must not use the word mentor. In fact, I was talking to a group of kids that said, yeah, we need a mentor. I said, no, you don't. You know, you need a guide. You need somebody who will give you some guidance, somebody who will give you information. I didn't even know the word Jegna at the time, because I definitely would have used that word. But no, not a mentor. I knew who mentor was and what mentor had done to Odysseus' son, Telemachus. And of course, it is a story, but it may be a story, but that is the history. It is in their art. It's in their art. You don't see, in ancient Kemet, you see a man and a woman side by side. Sometimes you see the woman holding the man because the woman is a protector. This is deep, y'all. We need to understand and look at Kemetic culture, which is the height of apex and zenith and pinnacle of African high culture. We need to look at that. But in ancient Greece, you see statues of men with men. You see statues of men with boys. Pedophilia was real in ancient Greece. Homosexuality was real in ancient Greece. In sexual terms, you know, slang terms, I guess, when they use the word Greek, that means anal sex. Look it up for yourself. So I'm saying that we must understand, we talk about words have meaning. There's power in words. Yes, because when you give a word, it conjures up a vision. It conjures up a meaning. And for us, in this language, it has been and continues to be and will always be detrimental. That's why we should reject it. That's why I'm advocating for us to learn Swahili. It would be great if the majority of us, and I ain't, you know, I'm being realistic. I ain't talking about Negroes, but I'm talking about the majority of us who profess to be African and who want to be African, learn Swahili so we can speak in a language that is independent. So if we even around a group of whoever and we're speaking this, just like Chinese will speak. In fact, there are more people trying to learn to speak Mandarin Chinese on the continent than Swahili or even other cultural languages of Wolof and Igbo, whatever, trying to speak Mandarin Chinese. Why? Because of the takeover. Because of the takeover of Chinese in African countries, of Africans' land, of Africans' resources. I saw where, I can't remember, I think it was Cote d'Ivoire, one of the countries where the Chinese was just beating up people, you know, just whooping their ass. They showed this one brother getting just being whooped with a, you know, just like, remember that I don't know if it was in China, some Caucasian. He was caned and wound up dying, you know. He was caned, whooped his ass to the point that that's not, you know. And they showed this one brother on his knees in the Chinese dude just whipping his ass. You know, there's no place that we as African people can go and dictate to anybody. But yet, others have come to the continent and dictated to us on our own land. That's why we must come together. All these things will be solved with functional unity. All these things will be solved with a dynamic Pan-Africanism. A dynamic Pan-Africanism, as Dr. Clark would say, that is cultural, spiritual, and technical. That is cultural, spiritual, African spirituality. I ain't talking about no religion.
That's because they allow that shit.
Hey, what's up, Jay? Hey, Jay, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, OC? Yeah, I mean, if you allow somebody to come into your country, basically take over your country, impregnate your women, and beat your men ass, then you deserve what you get. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to come in your house, take your child, take your woman, and with your ass, are they?
Oh no, they ain't even coming to my house. They ain't taking nothing. You know, from Jump Street.
So what is one to say? You being punctified. If you being punctified, then you deserve to get whatever you get. See, I get tired of people trying to make excuses for our behavior and how we punking out. Listen, Miles showed us the way. Others have guided us in what needs to be done. The bottom line is, you either going to do it or you're not going to do it. I mean, everybody around the world is standing up for their position on the planet. And here it is. We are the ones who have everything that everybody needs, but we don't do the necessary things to protect it because of what? We scared to die. If you wasn't scared to die, you would not be in this position. You know, if you stop being humane to the cracker, the saltine, the no-good, filthy, stinking bastard, then you would be able to survive on the planet. He not going to change his ways. You know, he just get better and better in what he do in regards to devastation, destruction, all types of evil. I mean, you can't even say, or you can't name one place on this earth, let's be clear, I just said this earth, where anybody that's been of color have been living amongst themselves in peace and harmony, and that this saltine, filthy, stinking, no good, dirty bastard ain't come in their midst and not cause utter havoc.
No, you're right. You're right.
There's not one place on place on this earth that the white man has come into existence with anybody of color, even the darker shade, stinking, filthy cracker, and he ain't absolutely just cause havoc, murder, mm-hmm. death, rape, and you name it. That's just the inherent nature of what we refer to as the goddamn white man,
yeah.
Evil.
Yeah,
and you want him to represent your God. How could a Negro in their right mind have a picture of Jesus Christ,
yeah. Blonde,
blue-eyed devil on their wall and not be insane? If I walk in somebody's house and I saw that picture, I'd turn right back around and walk the hell out and go on about my business. And Lord, would wish for him to come behind me and ask me why you leave it. I would first say to you, you're a goddamn fool, and keep walking. I don't care. Too old for this nonsense.
Yeah, it is, and it's sad, but that's the training.
But other than that, how are you, Oshie?
Is
the white man not being the white man?
Well, he is who he is. He is who he is, and he does what he does. My problem is that we need to be who we are, and we need to do what we do, and that is independent of them. But because they had this vice grip on our minds, we can't think outside of the imposed boundaries that they have placed upon us to deal with each other righteously and humanely and seriously to handle our business. We've been trained to hate one another, despise one another, you know, play one another, kill one another, you know, and it happens not just here. It happens all over. As Brother Marcus said,
It's not like you can't survive without the white man. It's not like, let's say you take a country like Uganda or something like that. You shut it down, kick out all the white folks and kill a couple of hundred Africans that are just of no value, and then rebuild. You got the land there. You got the mineral wealth. You got the necessary knowledge and wisdom to build the world, to build an existence, to build an economy, to do whatever you have to do to uplift your people and create, as one fantasized about,
mm-hmm.
Wakanda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just like the craziest thing in the world. We as an African people fantasize it and find the deep pride and acknowledgement in a goddamn fictional place. Mm-hmm. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But that's how we think,
well,
not knowing that we could do it.
Let me say this.
Everything that is necessary to do it. Just get rid of all the white folks, kill a couple of your brothers and sisters who just ain't right, and go from there. And it'll be absolutely Wakanda. That's what Wakanda should be.
That's what Wakanda is.
Yourself, you can clothe yourself and everything.
In fact, in the movie, towards the end, I was disappointed because he wanted to open up Wakanda to everybody. You know, and I'm like, no. No. Don't
Why
let
do
these
always wanna
Yeah, don't
the
let these crackers
in.
No, don't do that.
No, never let a cracker in.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Don't do that.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something, man. I know it from dealing with the cracker. And you know it's even more egregious is when you deal with the cracker, Negroes, and the Indians. Let me tell you something. I have more problems out of the Indian than I do out of the cracker. Because the cracker already know I put him to death. He already knows not to play with me. But the Indian, for some reason, always got to give me sugar honey iced tea. And I mean, you know, it's... I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I think I'm going to move to... Panama.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna move to Panama.
You've been talking about Panama.
My dream house.
Well, listen, check
dream
out
my, dream my container house.
Well, and, when you're in that,
stay off the grid.
When you're in that area, check out Belize, Panama, and Belize.
Hey,
I think there are two places in Central America.
Belize is not as financially stable. They don't have the. They're a beautiful place, but. Their economy is not as good as Panama. So.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I think, Oshie, when you get older, and you know this because you have...
Because I am older, age, right? Because I am old.
I'm saying you had a beautiful age because you done seen so much, experienced so much. When you get older and you start to face mortality and you look at what's going on around you and surrounding you. You know something, man? You become very disappointed in a lot of ways, in a sense, in your people, but you also become optimistic also that maybe some will get it.
Sure,
you know,
I have to be.
All you can hope is that when you leave here, that those that get it will continue to move forward. But if you see where we came from, the 60s to where we are today.
It's disappointing.
It's beyond disappointing.
Very
if you
disappointing.
Put it in its context, but you also very hopeful
mm-hmm.
that, you know, people like Baba Baruti, Marcus Klein, and others are educating our people. But the way that the cracker has set this up, if you don't separate yourself in a certain sense and put forward community enclaves to develop as a people, we're gonna be in bad shape. We really need a humane place of existence, not sick and twisted like was created like the likes of Jim Jones. We need to be in a community of African people building, developing, finding something that we could use as commerce. In a sense, a holistic, like the Amish. You know, the Amish, for all what we say about them, they live a pretty decent existence. Imagine if we could have the same thing with some of the luxuries that we enjoy in community with one another, sustaining ourselves, educating ourselves, being able to produce with technology or something else, to be able to trade, to be able to live and enjoy a good life. You know what I mean? Because in our existence as a people, what do? We get up in the morning, go to work for a cracker, come home, and try to have some sense of peace and balance. What if we was in a place where we all collectively could work towards creating, working for ourselves and for our community, and not having to be overbearing in the manner in which we hustle and bustle to serve the cracker, but if we were serving African people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. Like being able to deal in technology. I mean, imagine if you had 50 families that lived in a place that were able to sustain themselves, and the way that they made their revenue was through security technology that you would be able to do, not really having to deal with the cracker on a certain level, because you are providing the service. And by providing the service, you are able to generate the revenue to be able to have some place like the Negroes always, fantasize about, a real Rosewood. You know what I'm saying? Where you have shops, you have grocery stores, you have farms, you have cleaners, you have all of those things. You know what I mean? But it's just African people in a collective with one another.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the type of, in a sense, if you think about it, the utopia on a certain level that the Amish have.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this.
For themselves.
For us, that vision, as far as I'm concerned, could only be realized on the continent with Africans.
Of course.
With Africans having the understanding of that we must work together. Africans on the continent, Africans in the diaspora, those Africans who are despots, those Africans who are neocolonials, those Africans who are agent provocateurs, either they leave or we will deal with them. That's right.
But
the burning necktie.
I love the burning necktie.
I know you do, Jay.
That would be a form of security for. But imagine, Oshie, just think about this. Imagine if you on the African continent had a situation where, you just deal in security technology. All the people in the village were into IT. They were learning code, and they were doing all of these things, to whereas there would be a company set up to deal all around the world to provide the service. And the revenue that was created would be used to build and develop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Homes and things of that nature. You know, having people doing the farming, having people...
That's possible.
The food, having people create the media. You know what I mean? It's not as far-fetched.
No, it's not. It is truly possible.
It's not as far-fetched as one thinking it.
No, it is not.
No.
The bottom line is that we need a cadre of leadership. Not a charismatic leadership, a cadre of leadership. Those men and women who are willing to sit down and begin to plan this African realization, this re-Africanization, this nation building concept, to put it together and then begin to give out the orders of who does what, when, and where, and have the feedback coming back to make sure things are being done and done correctly and done on time. And those who are in the way going to have to get the hell out the way or moved out the way.
Or African next time.
Exactly.
Or the next time.
Exactly.
I mean, that's something we should envision. That's something that you could go to the continent and build.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It is possible.
It wouldn't even be that much. I mean, you could build beautiful container homes that would stand up to the weather. You could deal in solar. You could do all
of those things.
To create
solar, wind, all of that.
Solar is not that. If you had $100,000, you could create the necessary solar energy to absolutely, take care of a whole village and things of that nature. I mean, man, there's so many opportunities that are available for African vision. If we would just step away, sacrifice, and do. But lastly, Oshie, could you please get Brother Peter Brown back on, man?
From the ledge. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if he's in the States or not.
Well, last time I talked to him, which was like a few months ago. few months ago, he was in the States, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he's a beautiful brother.
Yeah,
man.
No doubt.
You know, he was showing on the internet this week how you do water filtration.
Yes.
And how easy it is. He was showing how they're almost finished building what they're doing and. Oh, man. I mean, that's the type of brother has a real serious African vision.
Mm-hmm. And is putting it into practice, brother. Believe me.
Yes. Yep. Yes, he is.
All right.
As always, man, you know, you do what you do. But we got to get out of the mindset of sharing with the cracker, wanting to be around the cracker, talking to the cracker.
No.
Damn sure sleeping with the cracker.
No, you reject everything.
I mean, we need to devoid ourselves of the cracker. And you know what's so sad, Oshie? The only way you can do it is in darkness. Man, you can't even turn on this radio station without at some point in time of the day hearing the voice of a cracker.
Well, the bottom line is...
The only way you can go a whole day without hearing the voice of the cracker is in total goddamn darkness.
Don't turn on any media. Don't turn on any media, none at all.
You can't turn on nothing without none at all. You can't. So that means, and think about it, you can't even turn on this station without at some point in time of the day hearing the voice of a no good, filthy, stinking crap.
Well, MJ, you know I got to go, man. So you know I got to go, man. You have a blessed weekend, my brother, okay?
Hey, brother, you have a blessed week.
All right, you stay safe, Jay. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. One of our, another good friend of mine, as I was mentioning when Brother Dennis was on, talking just for that minute, and I appreciate Brother Dennis Blackwell, another fellow firefighter in the Southeast. He's in Maryland. And one of my brothers here in the Atlanta area, Brother Jimmy Hodges, had made his transition. And me and his wife and Sister Rosemary Cloud, the former chief of East Point, we went to Brother Leroy Norwood's homegoing in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so I needed to get the information. I got to call a few people to find out exactly what happened. But the Brother Barron was 95 years old. Barron lived a beautiful life, a great life. He was sharp. At least I hadn't seen him in quite a few years, you know, and I had hoped to see him last year when we were supposed to have had our 50th anniversary. We were in our organization of black firefighters nationally, internationally, coming out of 1970. So it's going to be last year. And then, of course, it didn't happen again this year. So, and of course, if we don't have again next year, I know some more brothers will be falling by the wayside. But believe me, if I have the honor and the privilege to do libation, they will be honored. Their names will be said, you know. So listen, brothers and sisters, have a great weekend. You know, be safe. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed weekend. Be safe. Hope to see you on Monday. Peace.